I'm Jeanette Martindale Chambers, and I'm from Glendoe, Wyoming. I live on Horseshoe Creek, which is about 6.5 miles west of Glendoe. My great-grandfather came to Wyoming in 1872, and he came to Cheyenne, and he had a little place near Buford, Wyoming, and he lived there for several years. I've typed up a copy of most of that information, which I will give you, so there's really no sense in me repeating that or the stories that I've typed up to give you. However, my story ends when my grandmother, which was a daughter of George and Mattie Haichu, when they got married. And there is a lot more to tell that involves the second generation of that family. My grandmother was Retta Haichu, H-I-T-E-S-H-E-W. And sometime while she was attending the University of Wyoming, it was still spelled H-I-T-E-S-H-E-W, and shortly after, the name got switched to H-I-T-S-H-E-W. I think her story is very, very interesting in the fact that, well, I maybe better go back and explain that she married my grandfather, who was James Monroe Woody, and I have some pictures to turn in for that, too, and the dates, and my mother was born, well, they were married in 1907, and my mother was born in 1908, and my mother was Stella M. Woody, and she had a little sister named Laura, and Laura died when she was just several months old. Then my grandfather died in the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918. He was shipping cattle to Omaha, and when he got home, he was sick, and that left her to raise a child alone, and they had bought the ranch on Horseshoe Creek at Glendoe, Wyoming, and that left her a widow. But before she was widowed, she became paralyzed from the waist down with what they called at that time childbirth paralysis. However, I would think it's probably considered infantile paralysis now. But here she was with money to be paid off on different things, paralyzed from the waist down, a child to raise. And she did have her teaching certificate. She had gone to the University of Wyoming. And she ended up teaching in country schools. Before she was married, she had taught at what was the A.B. Gillespie School down near Orrin, Wyoming. And my grandfather had worked for the Toltec Livestock Company, and he had also done haying for John McFarland up in the mountains, and he was well acquainted with all of the people in the mountains with his riding and so forth, and he's working up there some. But she taught at various country schools, and she taught at Flat Top over east of the Platte River. She taught at Chalk Buttes. She taught at several different schools, and she lived over there by herself in the schools, and she taught from a wheelchair. And at one school, at the Roe Digger School east of the river, they would help her get onto the horse, and she would tie herself on, go across the Platte River to the Wormwoods, Charles Wormwood Place, and they would keep her for the weekend or take her back to the ranch on Horseshoe Creek, whichever. And in one instance, one of the Roe Digger girls told me that they had a threshing machine close to the school. And she was very strong in her arms with this wheelchair that she had to crank all the time. And she could pull herself up the ladder on the threshing machine, get her body to swinging, and swing herself onto the horse and then tie herself on to go. The girls also told me, the Roe Digger girls before they passed away, told me that at one time her wheelchair got caught in a crack in the school and she couldn't get out of her wheelchair or go, but she called enough that the girls heard her before they got too far from the school and they helped her to get out of it. She had grown up near Keyline at the Homestead Ranch, or the home ranch of George and Mattie Haichu, which were her parents. And it wasn't very far from the Chalk Buttes. And the kids used to go up there. And at one time, from what I can gather, apparently it was also an Indian burial ground. When she was a little girl, the Indians came along and they took her, and either her uncle or her mother. There are two various stories on that, but I rather think it was probably her uncle went and got her back from the Indians. So when she'd go up to the Chalk Buttes to this burial place where she got Indian artifacts, she even stole a moccasin off of one of the Indians up there, which we still have. Retta was my grandmother, and my grandmother's sister, Ethel Haichu Dern, wrote, "The most excitement was when the Indians came through. We were afraid of them. One time, Mother took us up on the hill east of the house, but we got back before they had left. One old buck says, 'Fraid, heap fraid.' One time they came, Mother was cooking tomato preserves. Those crazy Indians took that pan out by the well, got some spoons, and ate them. One time they caught Retta and was carrying her off to their camp. Mother's brother Bill was there, Bill Dayton, and he went and got her. I hid behind the dining room door, and was I scared. We had country school out there for a while, Southmans and us. The Indians would pass the schoolhouse. Bill Southman went out and talked to them. They had a white woman in one wagon, and she was sure crying. That's one of the stories that was written to me. When I grew up, my mother started telling me a lot of stories, and I thought I had a lot of time to remember them. And I would copy them down sometime when she had more time to, we could sit down and write them down. But she ended up dying at an early age. She was born in 1908, and she died in 1964, so she was in her 50s. I wish I had all of those stories. My mother had been raised during the Depression, and so had my father, and they were both very, very conservative, very conscious of not wasting anything and doing what they could with what they had. She would save the bread wrappers, which were covered with plastic, to clean off the stove. Our stove in the kitchen had four burners that were coal and wood and four burners that were gas. And she'd use those bread wrappers to clean off the stove. If you wiped it off really good, it would just make it shine on the coal and wood stove. She also used them to clean her irons. Before we ever got electricity, which was in the 40s, she would take the flat irons and put a circle of them on the coal and wood stove. And then she'd put a big old skillet over it to keep it hot and do her ironing. She also cleaned the irons off with those bread wrappers. She saved them to wrap meat in. They ate a lot of wild meat, and we never ate any antelope. We didn't like antelope, but we ate a lot of deer meat. She would wrap her meat in that. She was one of the first ones to get freezer after we got electricity, and she also relied heavily on a pressure cooker. She'd get one of these Presto cookers because she worked outside with my dad a lot, haying. She raked all of the hay on our place with a team of horses. And at one point, not long after they were married, which was in the 30s, something happened and she fell off the rake and got caught in the rake for a while. But she still continued to rake the hay with a team of horses, until she died in 1964. She passed away. She was one of the last ones to continuously use a team of horses.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.